It's been a brutal few years, but history says it will turn around.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Has Auburn had the worst time in college football since 2020? We're going to break that down. And even if it's true, history says it has to turn back in Auburn's favor. We're going to talk about that as well. And there's a good bit of basketball hype building. You got Mantis that's reported to campus, that rhymes. And then you have Narcisse and Goy with the draft pick, and you're starting to get some practices under your belt. A little bit of hype building. We're going to talk about that as well. But I want to jump into this. I was listening to a clip from the next round, and in particular, Connor O'Gara, who has a show on their channel, and they were talking about teams that have struggled the most in the 2020s. I'm going to play the clip, and we're going to break it down on his take on Auburn.
I came to the conclusion, I think Auburn is straight up having the worst time of anyone in college football in the 2020s. And here's the case. The program has obviously had five consecutive losing seasons in the midst of its worst stretch since the Harry Truman administration. You've heard me say that before. You fired three coaches and you've paid all of them eight-figure buyouts. The only winning season in the 2020s resulted in paying what was then the largest buyout in the history of a college football head coach, Gus Malzahn. The job search was botched from the jump with the Kevin Steele mess. You land on Brian Harsin. You staged a failed coup a year later because you don't like him against your two biggest rivals in the 2020s, Alabama and Georgia. You're 0-12 against them with some excruciating losses. And those teams have accounted for every single SEC championship in the 2020s, as well as half of the national championships. But it's not just them, or even the zero bowl game victories. It is a 4-26 mark against ranked foes, which is fewer ranked wins in the 2020s than the likes of Arkansas, Vandy, even Kentucky has 9 ranked wins in the 2020s.
You know it's bad. We knew it was bad. And I call it the dark ages for a reason. But a lot of the pieces in there have, when you really look at the numbers, make it even worse. And I know we typically boog on this show, but just hang in there. We're gonna turn this thing around. But having the fewer ranked wins than, you know, Kentucky, Arkansas, even Vanderbilt, that's brutal. Like, that just can't happen. 0-12 against your rivals, that is brutal. And then you go on to watch them. It's not just that you're losing to them, but you're going on to watch them have, you know, the success that they're having, whether they're playing for or winning the SEC championship or playing or winning a national championship. And in the meantime, you can't get out of your own way, and you continue to have losing season after losing season. It's been tough, man, and I always try to figure out the why. We understand what has happened, but why? And it always seems to come back to Auburn is really good at firing and really good at essentially rallying around the new coach, albeit for just maybe a short period of time. Those two things, I tell you what, we may not be able to get on board a lot all together on who we want as a coach, how we feel about that particular coach 3 years in. But one thing it feels like Auburn's really good at is pulling the trigger and firing somebody, which I don't know if that's necessarily something that you should be super proud of, because where they're the absolute worst at is having a plan after you fire somebody. I want to talk about LSU for a second. LSU pulled the trigger on Brian Kelly really, really early this past season. And the only reason that they pulled the trigger that soon was because they were not going to not get Lane Kiffin. As crazy as that whole saga was, they had a plan. They were going to get Lane Kiffin. Period. End of story. That's why they did what they did. Auburn doesn't seem to make a lot of moves with a plan already in place, or they often have the plan in place fall through. You don't have to look any further than, you know, Gus Malzahn. I don't even know that Gus Malzahn would have been fired in 20 after that COVID season had he not had the comments about this was a solid season. I don't think that would have happened. That's because it ticked off the wrong people. And what's Auburn really good at? They're really good at rallying together, paying a buyout, and firing somebody. Not what you want to be good at. Then you go to the, you know, the Brian Harsin deal. And I agree with Connor. It was a botch from a start. But, like, you go look at when Gus was fired. How did that search go? You had a failed coup attempt. You had a stop steal campaign, hand raised. You had all kinds of this guy wants this guy wants that guy. Just a mess totally, and it resulted in, you know, having Brian Harsin. And then the Brian Harsin debacle was what it was. There's a lot of different trains of thought. It was the wrong hire from the beginning. May have been the only choice you could make at the time because you screwed the thing up so bad because you didn't have a plan. And then you get rid of Harsin, and it feels like you kind of had a plan in place to go get Lane Kiffin, but you couldn't get it done. So you unite around Hugh Freeze, and I'm going to give them credit. When I'm criticizing a lot of the quote-unquote leadership, I'm going to give them a lot of credit with the Hugh Freeze deal because they literally gave that guy everything he could possibly ask for. Everything he could possibly ask for. And he could not get it done. I mean, millions and millions of dollars to pump into those rosters. New coaching positions off the field that he could build out the off the field whatever you want to call it organization as he sees fit. You go hire one of the top GMs in the country, like so on and so forth. Just gave him everything. I'll pat them on the back for that. Hugh Freeze screwed that up, not the leadership. And then even this last go around, you got rid of Hugh, which it was interesting because I don't think if the Kentucky game doesn't go the way it goes, you probably don't fire him. So it was another reactionary firing without necessarily having a 100% plan in place. And your move was going to be John Sumrall. You couldn't get it done. Now, I think you've lucked into a guy that can turn it around, but it will be purely that luck. It will, because the trend of not having a solid plan in place like other places have had, not having a solid plan in place, but I think that is going to end up being in Auburn's favor because I really, really like everything about Alex Golish, and who cares how you got to him. You got him now, and you're seeing what he's been able to do. Bottom line, it's really hard to argue when you look at Power Four football teams, and on top of that, teams that have historic status among the elites. And we'll talk about that in just a second. To see what has happened over the last 5 years has been it's been a travesty. It's been an embarrassment. The good news is usually things will return to the mean. They will return back to where they're supposed to be. And hopefully, with the stars kind of aligning, this could be the year to kind of get things back towards normal. How about that? Get it back to normal. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans Parkway, where two parkways collide. They're still doing their summer Beat the Heat special. You can get a free performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis, and get $50 off any repairs on your AC over $300. Why not? It's hot as crap outside. Why would you not want to go make sure, even if you have the slightest feeling that something could be off with your AC, maybe it's not quite cool and as cool as you'd like it to, well, you could get a free check and figure out what the problem is. You could drop it off between 7 and 9 and on top of that and get a $50 oil change, cheapest in town, and then while you're waiting, you can go to the bathroom and check out the bidet. It's fantastic. So show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then don't forget, buyauburn.com added 3 new businesses over the weekend. Everything from gourmet popcorn to having a new roofing guy in the Birmingham area to having a, if you're a golfer, really cool golf product that you can use when you travel, that there's nothing out there like it. Auburn guy. All that stuff at buyauburn.com. If you're an Auburn fan, start your buying process at buyauburn.com. And if you're an Auburn business owner, it's less than $1 a day. You cannot beat this value. We dropped a podcast over the weekend. If you're in South Alabama, you got an Auburn guy insurance company that you can check out all over the Gulf Coast, many different locations covering many different counties. That's just the kind of stuff we're doing here at buyauburn.com. So show us some love. We'll be back right after this. It would be one thing if Auburn was a traditional cellar dweller. It would be one thing if this was a rough stretch in a program that did not see a lot of success. But that's not what Auburn is. That's not what Auburn's been. And I don't think that's what Auburn's going to be. Even with the bad run that you've had, historically bad run, Auburn is still in the top 20 of Power 4 schools in winning percentage, all-time winning percentage. Okay? You're a top 20 program, even with all of the losses that have mounted up over the last 5 years, you're still a top 20 team in winning percentage. Even with the last 5 years and opportunities for multiple schools to jump you, you're still in the top 15 in all-time wins. The pedigree is there. The history is there. It just can't stay this way forever. So when people point at you and people talk about Auburn being, you know, Auburn sucks and this, that, and the other, that's just simply historically not the case. It feels like there's miles between the LSU program and Auburn. But when you look at it, you know what separates LSU and Auburn? All time in wins? It's 11 wins total. That's separate. For schools that have played essentially the exact same amount of football for the exact same amount of years. Eventually, this thing has to correct itself. And where one thing that you can look at to show evidence that this thing can correct itself and it's not a downward spiral is follow the money. Look at the money. Look at the additions. Look at the facilities. Look at the upgrades. Look at the recruiting. All of the things that go into building a program from a financial standpoint, every school probably in that top 20, top 15, Auburn, you probably have to split hairs when you're talking about Auburn in a lot of those teams. So from the standpoint of being elite in resources, that's what people are talking about. That's what makes Auburn an attractive spot. You can't go just anywhere and have a school that will continue to pump money in. I mean, I just saw we had another sellout this year. Five consecutive losing seasons, and you sell out all your season tickets. How many schools could say that? How many schools could claim that? Now, I know that there's going to be people pointing and laughing and say, oh, that doesn't matter. You got to win on the field. All that's a given. Like, duh. We understand that. I'm just showing you all the evidence that what has happened over the past 5 years is the exception and not the rule. This thing will turn around. And I really think it begins. I know we've said this for the last multiple years, and I don't know that it's going to be like Auburn's going to go run off and compete for an SEC championship. I don't even know if Auburn will get close. I don't know that Auburn necessarily has to get close. I would love for it to. Would love to go win 10 games and be in the playoff talk. Would love to go win 9 games and be in the playoff talk. But if Auburn were able to and Golish were able to go out there and win 8 games or win 7 games, and as long as you win some games you're not supposed to, if you're just able to do that, you're getting closer to where Auburn has historically been. You're getting back to the mean. And I don't think it's really that far out of reach to say that that could happen. I look at some of the pieces on the roster. I love the defense. I love the quarterback. Offensive line, they still got some work to do. Love some of the pieces at wide receiver. Running backs, like, I think the pieces are there. And now that the talent level has somewhat spread out a little bit, and it feels like there aren't just a handful of super dominant teams. When I say handful, I mean, like, it's not like there's just like 3 or 4 teams out there that are just dominating everybody. That's not the case anymore. I think this could be a good opportunity for Auburn to sort of break the seal on losing. Like, let's put that in the past. Let's move out of the dark ages and kind of get back to what Auburn is all about. All the pieces are there. All the resources are there. It's impossible for this thing to continue to be mismanaged this poorly. And I'm telling you, this Golish guy, there's something to him. There's been some basketball hype. We're going to switch gears and talk about basketball a minute. What are they doing right now? Like, they're able to have a lot of like team-led scrimmage type stuff. There's even been some coaching stuff there as well. They can't do a ton. But early reports out are very, very positive. And I think when you're looking at additions, when you're looking at like the people that are coming in, because it's essentially the whole team is completely rebuilt, there were only a couple of guys, really, honestly, for me, there's only one guy where I was like, that dude is going to be good. Like, there's just no doubt about it. And that was Mantis. And there was a little bit of a concern about, could he actually get here? But I've always felt like if that guy gets here, he's going to be really, really good at this level. Like, he's going to be very good. He's going to be an elite shooter. He's going to be an elite finisher. Good from the free throw line. The defensive aspect, we'll see, but he's been playing defense against grown men for quite some time. Feel really good about him. Didn't know what to expect about Buki Aboye. Didn't know what to expect about Narcisse and Goy. Felt good about them, but I didn't know really what their ceilings were. And particularly on Buki, since he's been here, I think it's been like a absolute like surprise, like a huge surprise at all of the abilities that this guy has and all of the different dimensions, all of the different like aspects to his game that you didn't really know until he got here. You had a good idea. Hey, he played point guard in high school. He'll be able to handle the ball. But to be able to do what he's doing at 7 foot tall is incredible. There's going to be some lineups tested, at least. Will we see it on the court? I'm not sure. There's going to be some lineups tested where he's playing the four and Narcisse is playing the five. Like, so you're going to have some lineups with 2 7-footers on the floor next year. So Buki, feel really, really good about Buki. And then Narcisse, the thing about him is I expected a solid player. You know, Dap nailed it last night about how he felt about Narcisse is how I felt about him. But now when you throw in the fact that teams in the NBA were willing to throw away a draft pick and they may not even be able to, you know, sign him eventually, there's only 60 draft picks, and he was one of them. That just threw my expectations into overdrive. Then you got guys like Caleb Williams, your true freshman, who's come in, and he is vastly far ahead of where they expected him to be, has been scoring a lot of points and really turning heads in a lot of these scrimmages. There's some pieces here that can be really good. Like, this team's going to be different for sure. But as far as a Stephen Pearl brand, I think this team will be as close as it possibly can to resemble the type of basketball that more closely aligns with what he wants to do, instead of taking, obviously, a team that, you know, was kind of built for his dad. This is going to be his team. So I'm getting a little bit more excited the more I hear about basketball, and hopefully we'll be able to go to some of the practices here soon. I know that they're pretty strict on what you can and can't share from basketball practice, and really just more so get some more context around what you're hearing. But I think there's a significant amount of hype to be excited about as far as basketball goes. Let me know what y'all think about the Dark Ages. Do you feel it's as close to turning around as I do? Do you have something else you can attribute the Dark Ages to? Let's talk about that too. I mean, there's a conversation there. Y'all have a great week. Make sure you like and subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to the premium on YouTube so you can get the Afternoon Delight daily, so you can get the Village Vice post show Monday through Thursday, so you can get the commit breakdowns. We got a pile of them. Taylor's been working hard on those. Had some new ones drop last week. All of the bonus content, make sure you're subscribed so you can take part in that. We'll catch y'all tomorrow. We're out of here. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.